when we receive reports for the new financial year, 2013, 2014, this is the last report of the 2012 financial year. But with the next one, we received recently reports from the Public Service Commission. That showed that there was no an alignment. There was no alignment between your predetermined objectives and the expenditure. Now we think that moving forward from the first quarter, when we get the quarterly report, I think the quarterly report should be able to say, in terms of our annual performance plan, this is what we said to do, these are the targets we set ourselves, and this is how we have performed vis-a-vis the annual performance plan. I'm saying in the next quarterly report, not now. We'd like to see that. I know that the challenge could be that you are not a functional, what you call a life function department. But we have the APP. So on that note, you're welcome. We have received the apologies here. Signed by Mr. Marshall for the minister and the... No, it's not apologies, it's information by Mr. Marshall on behalf of the minister that they are not able to come. I mean, we distinguish between the information that we hear and the apologies, because apologies can only be sent by those people who are supposed to be sending apologies, not someone else. Yes, the information is fine. But on that note, we appreciate the information. But I think that we can start with the presentation. I know it's not a long presentation. I invite you to address us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members, and officials from Parliament present. May I start, Chairperson, by introducing the team from the department, as usual. Honourable members might be familiar with them all by now, but I'll just do it again. Caroline Mongwani, at the end, in the red jersey, from the office of the DG. next to Caroline is Emmanuel Salepi, from the ministry. Next to Emmanuel is Kajal Surju, our Director for Human Resource Management. Next to Kajal is Clement Madani, who's head of the Office of the Director General, and he's also responsible for planning in the department and for reporting against plans in the department. And next to Clement is Peter Pretorius, who's the CFO of the department. Chairperson, in the invitation letter for us to come today, we were asked to present on our fourth quarter expenditure, but we've also included slides at the end on our fourth quarter performance against the targets for the performance indicators in the APP. We thought you might want to see both the expenditure and the fourth quarter performance information. So, if you agree, then I'll present both the expenditure and the performance information. And then, Chairperson, your request that for future reports, we try and directly link expenditure and budgets on the one hand with performance on the other hand. Yes, we can do that. Even though we're not a service delivery department, we can and we will do that. At the moment in this presentation, there isn't that direct link, so you can't see about how much we're spending on each of the performance targets, but we can do that for the future. Okay, so the first slide shows our budget for the year. The first table at the top shows our budget by economic classification. On the left-hand side, in the columns, the economic classifications of compensation, goods and services, and capital. And along the top, it shows our main programs of the department, Program 1, Administration, Program 2, Outcomes Monitoring and Evaluation, Program 3, M&E Systems, and Program 4, Public Service Oversight. As indicated in the APP, all our work with regard to monitoring the outcomes and all our work with regard to the evaluation function are carried out in the M&E branch. The M&E Systems branch is largely responsible for capacity building for monitoring and evaluation across government, and the Public Service Oversight branch is responsible for monitoring of individual departments' management practices using the MPAT tool and the presidential hotline and our frontline and citizen-based monitoring programs. The table at the bottom shows the shifts and the variance that we did during the course of the year in terms of the 8% rule, in terms of the PFMA. In summary, we moved some money from compensation, from the administration and OME branches in particular, and we also moved some money from goods and services in the PSO branch, and we moved those monies to goods and services in administration and OME. And I'll explain these movements and variances in more detail during the presentation. We had savings in compensation due to a number of reasons, and I'll summarize those reasons here now, but there'll be more detail about our filling of posts later in the presentation. For some of our specialist positions, such as DDG position, which has now been filled, and some of our outcome facilitator positions, we had some difficulty in finding suitable candidates. For example, we would go through an interviewing process and find a candidate, but then the candidate would decide to take another position. And that led to some of our recruitment processes taking longer than planned. In some cases, some of our advertised positions were filled by successful internal candidates, which resulted in new vacancies, which affected our compensation expenditure. We'd also budgeted for the implementation of a bargaining council resolution which would have increased compensation for salary bands 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, but there were delays in implementing that resolution, not from our side, but from a whole of government side. And that resulted in some less than expected expenditure on compensation. Some of the people who we recruited also started later than we expected them to due to some delays in obtaining pre-employment security vetting results. And then we had also planned to recruit people to do the HOD assessment function on behalf of the DG and the Presidency. But that implementation of that function was delayed because it was dependent on the issuing of a new HOD assessment policy by the DPSA, and that policy has not been issued yet. So we decided not to proceed with the filling of some of the positions that we planned for that function. In Program 1, we had savings and compensation were moved to our ICT units in administration for additional software licenses. And in program two, our savings and compensation were moved to goods and services to fund two big projects that were started during the course of the year. That is the 20-year review and a research project that we were asked to do by FOSAD on the possibility of government making greater use of the provisions in the Constitution for minimum norms and standards for concurrent functions with a view to improving the performance of government with regard to concurrent functions. And then the movement of funds from compensation in program two, the OME branch, to these two projects which started during the year, the 20-year review, and a research project which we're doing for the Forum of South African DGs, to lead a process working with the national departments responsible for concurrent functions to ascertain in detail the potential for national departments to make greater use of minimum norms and standards for concurrent functions as a means of improving performance in the areas of concurrency. And then we had savings in the presidential hotline, which I'll talk about in more detail a bit later. And those were moved to also to those two projects as well. This slide shows my expenditure pattern over the year, and the marked spike is very visible in the graph. We have an explanation for the marked spike. I would like to assure the members of the committee that this marked spike is not due to fiscal dumping. There are very good reasons for it, which are related to us being a new department. And I'd like to assure the committee that our graph for this current financial year, now that we've gotten into a cycle of being able to plan for expenditure the year before, will not have such a pronounced March spike. Our total expenditure by the end of the financial year was as depicted in this slide, which shows that we spent 92% of our budget, 462 million. We had 7.8 million worth of projects for which we had commitments, but we weren't able to fully spend by the end of the financial year, and we are approaching Treasury for a request for rollovers for that 7.8 million. And then we had under expenditure of 6.2 million or 3.6%. This slide and the following slide explain the March spike at the end of the financial year. There are three main reasons for the March spike. The first reason is that, as members will be aware, as we've reported to the committee previously, when we first started as a department, we used the presidency's IT system. But because the nature of our work is quite different to that of the presidency, and because we need to interchange large quantities of data outside of the presidency frequently, we needed to establish our own IT infrastructure. And we've now done that. It's practically complete, and we're now on our own IT system with our own servers. But we had to engage with CETA to agree on a plan for our own IT infrastructure, and the agreements, those negotiations with CETA took a bit longer than expected, and what the plan was only agreed finally in June 2012, and the procurement process for our IT equipment could only start after that. And that explains both why a large proportion of our IT expenditure took place right at the end of the financial year, and it also explains, as I'll talk a bit later, partly explains why we had some under expenditure on IT. And then the second main reason for the expenditure spike is that we've now started in earnest to carry out evaluations. Members will recall that, as we've reported to the committee previously, we set up an evaluation system, since which we were created by a department, and the key part of that evaluation system is the National Evaluation Policy Framework, which was approved in cabinet by cabinet in November 2011. In terms of that National Evaluation Policy Framework, we go to cabinet on an annual basis to ask them to approve a national evaluation plan, which is a rolling plan with a 3-year plan for evaluations. And the 2012-2013 National Evaluation Plan was only approved in June 2012. And the reason for that is because we'd only finished the National Evaluation Policy in November 2011. Then we had to work with departments in terms of the policy to identify evaluations and then go through a process to prioritize those evaluations and then go to cabinet in June. And then we were only able to start the procurement processes for those evaluations in the 12-13 National Evaluation Plan after that. And that explains why the bulk of the expenditure on the evaluations only occurred right at the end of the financial year. That will change now in this financial year because we got the cabinet approval for the 13-14 evaluation plan in November of last year. So we started the processes for procurements, etc., much earlier. So we expect for that reason that the part of the March spike, which is due to expenditure on evaluations, to not be there this financial year, and our expenditure on evaluations, which will be much more evenly spread over the financial year. So I think this particular March spike is due to us being a new department. One, we had to develop our new ICT, and we had to get we got CETA approval for the plan midway through the financial year, but also the evaluation system is new, and this now is the first year where we've gotten the evaluation system working as it was intended in terms of the cycle, so that we have cabinet approve the evaluation plan, national evaluation plan for evaluations the year before they start, and that gives us the necessary time to do the terms of reference and the procurements, start the procurements early so that we can have the expenditure spread over the financial year. And then as I mentioned, we started these two new projects, the 20-year review of norms and standards after the beginning of the financial year, and they weren't complete by the end of the financial year, although we had planned to spend on them during the financial year through the monies that we moved as viables. But the two main reasons for the March spike are the CETA issue, which will no longer be there this financial year, and the late start of the evaluations, which will also no longer be there this financial year. So as I said earlier, we spent 92% of our budget by the end of the financial year, and the main areas in which there was under-expenditure were on ICT, where because of the relative late placement of our orders, there were some delays in the delivery of ICT equipment and finalization of software development. As I mentioned, we started the norms and standards and the 20-year review project midway through the financial year. I talked about the reasons for our under-expenditure on compensation. And then we also had some under-expenditure on the hotline, which I'll talk about in a bit more detail in the coming slides. Before I go into that though, this gives a picture of the filling of our posts, and there's an explanation of this graph on slide 10. At the beginning of the financial year, we had 137 positions filled, funded positions filled, out of a total of 195 funded positions. And by the end of the financial year, by the end of March, we had 173 posts filled out of a total post establishment of 197. During the course of the financial year, we did some organizational redesign in the department, and we created some new funded positions for performance monitoring of municipalities, and we also reduced some of our posts that were there for administration in the interest of increased efficiency. So by the end of the financial year, our total staff total number of funded posts was 197. We've also included in this graph information in the first few months of this financial year. So in this graph, the first April on the left-hand side is April 2012, and the June on the right-hand side is June 2013. So the financial year that we're reporting on is from April up until the end of March, and then we've added the filling of posts from April, May, and June, so that including posts for which people have been made offers and have accepted those offers, our June 2013 figure for filled positions is 185 out of a current total of 197 funded positions. So we are currently at about 92% of filled funded positions.
By March, they say you have 173 or 171.
Yes, you're right. Peter or Carter, would you like to explain the difference between that 171 and 173 on page 10?
It's actually 173. At the end of 31st March, it was 173 posts filled. I think it's just the graph, the representation there. It's not a correct reflection.
Okay. We do, currently our funded vacant positions is 197, but we did receive some additional funding over the MTSF in our budget for increasing our post establishment. And during the course of this financial year, we will be gradually increasing our post establishment to 208 from the current 197. What I mean by that is that what we're doing is gradually increasing the sizes of units as they develop. So for example, the local government performance monitoring function that we're starting to do now, we are growing it as a new function. So we don't want to hire lots of staff too quickly. We want to grow the unit as we develop the function. So for example, that unit is currently piloting the implementation of a municipal assessment tool that we developed in about 10 municipalities. And then we want to roll out the tool more broadly, and we'll need more staff when we roll out the tool more broadly. So we've spread our additional allocation for compensation over the course of the financial year, rather than have it all for particular posts for the whole year. We do have, then also increased more funding for compensation in the following financial year and the outer year of the MTEF, so that we'll be able to pay the salaries of those officials for the full year for those financial years. Turning to goods and services, we spent 92% of our goods and services budget. As I mentioned, we had these two projects, the 20-year review and the norms and standards project, for which we're asking money to Treasury for rollover. Under goods and services, we had budgeted for increased services from CETA, including more operators for the presidential hotline and other services from CETA, such as analyzing information from the hotline. And we'd also budgeted considerable amount to pay for telephone calls made to the toll-free number in the hotline. We did, in order to budget particularly for the telephone calls, we didn't have a precedent on which to estimate that budget. We had to estimate because the telephone calls hadn't been paid previously. So we later found out that we had overestimated the cost of the telephone calls, and the bills that we received were not as high as we estimated. And also, when we did the budget, we worked on the basis of initial estimate from CETA for the cost of obtaining additional call center operators and the other services. And in the final agreement with CETA, these services were less than the initial estimate. And those things in combination resulted in us underspending on our goods and services budget related to the hotline by about 3 million rand. Turning to capital expenditure, we had more substantial under-expenditure in the area of capital expenditure, and that was mainly due to the issue that I spoke about earlier with regard to the delays in doing all of our planned capital expenditure with regard to our IT, due to the IT plan only being finalized with CETA in June. However, we did enough capital expenditure in order to establish our own IT system by the end of the financial year, but we now have our own IT system. There were some additional items, such as backup equipment for making backups, which we weren't able to purchase last financial year, but those purchases are now in process. In conclusion, Chairperson, with regard to our expenditure, as I've mentioned, we think that both the slight under expenditure and the March spike are largely related to the fact that we are a relatively new department, and given that the evaluation system is now embedded and we now have our own IT system, we don't envisage that there will be a marked spike in the current financial year. We've also introduced some improved control measures to make sure that there isn't under expenditure. We've made an effort to improve the accuracy of the budgeting by our line function managers, and the CFO is now playing a more direct role to ensure that the budgets are realistic. And we have also introduced monthly budget expenditure versus budget meetings to ensure more rigorous expenditure monitoring. Now I'd like to turn to the performance information, Chairperson. Overall, members will see from looking at this performance information in comparison to our performance information from last financial year. We've heeded the advice of the committee to be more realistic with our targets, and we're hoping as well that the Auditor General's report for the 12-13 financial year will also indicate that the quality of our performance information has improved, both in terms of what's in our APP for 12-13 compared to the previous one, and in terms of our reporting against the APP. So the slides that follow show the targets per program, and it shows the number of targets which were achieved, partially achieved, and not achieved. We use the phrase partially achieved to differentiate between where there's non-achievement of a target at all, and where there's partial achievement, which can also be very close to full achievement. For example, if we said in the APP that we would produce 10 reports during the financial year and we only produced 9 reports, then it's classified as partially achieved, even if it's 90% achieved. What we've done in these slides also is to give the reasons why for those targets which were either partially achieved or not achieved, we've given an explanation for them. So for program one, there's an explanation in the slide for the three targets which were partially achieved. And an explanation for the two targets which were not achieved. Perhaps if I could focus on the ones which were not achieved. There were two fourth quarter targets not achieved under program one, which was to develop an IT system for the development indicators, and we made a deliberate decision to defer that to the next financial year in the interest of efficiency, because we needed to have a clearer plan of what we wanted to achieve with that IT. However, that didn't stop us from producing the development indicators. And similarly, we planned to establish an IT application for our help desk service, and that was in the interest of efficiency incorporated into a broader project to develop a system for corporate services. Turning to slide 19, our outcomes monitoring branch. There we only had one target partially achieved, which relates to the production of evaluation reports. Our target had been to have 9 evaluation reports for 9 separate evaluations approved by the relevant evaluation steering committees. In the event, we'd only proceeded with 8 evaluations, as only 8 were approved by Cabinet, and only 2 of those were approved by the Evaluation Steering Committee in May 2013, and 2 will be approved in July and 1 in August 2013. 1 will be approved in December and 1 in January next year. So with this target in particular, perhaps was one where we weren't as realistic as we should have been. We were a bit optimistic about the time frames with regard to going through the processes with departments and completing these evaluations. But the point that we're making with the explanation is that the work is in progress. Turning to Program 3, ME Systems. There we had 1 target partially achieved and 2 not achieved. The partially achieved targets relates to the development indicators report. That it was supposed to have been published, it was produced and submitted to Cabinet, but it has not yet been published because we are doing further work on developing it. It's going to have additional information in it and be richer than previous development indicators reports, and we're busy with that work now. And it should be finalized shortly. The two targets which were not achieved related firstly to the draft results bill. We had set ourselves the target for submitting the draft results bill to Cabinet by March 2013. We have previously talked about this issue with the Portfolio Committee. We did produce a draft bill and we consulted with other administrative centre of government departments about the bill, but we didn't reach agreement on it. And we've subsequently made a decision to take a step back and rather produce a green paper on monitoring evaluation as a precursor for a possible results bill. We're busy with that now, we hope to bring that green paper on monitoring evaluation to the committee in the next couple of months. We also had a target to produce a revised government-wide monitoring and evaluation framework and take it to Cabinet by March 2013. But we took a decision that it would be, given that we've decided to work on a green paper, it would be better to merge the government-wide monitoring evaluation framework with the green paper on monitoring evaluation so that we have one comprehensive document on monitoring and evaluation, which could then be a precursor to a possible bill if necessary, or could inform a revised government-wide monitoring evaluation framework. In the meantime, the existing government-wide monitoring evaluation framework still stands, the GWMES policy and framework. Turning to Program 4, Public Service Oversight. There, 1 of the 18 targets was partially achieved, and that was to submit a final citizen-based monitoring policy framework to Cabinet by the end of the financial year. The framework was produced and signed off by the Minister and tabled at the Governance and Administration Cluster. It's been through the various versions of the cluster working session and the main administrative cluster. It is now ready for submission to Cabinet and will be going to Cabinet in August. So this was done, but it didn't get to the final stage of obtaining Cabinet approval by the end of the financial year. So again, we were a little bit optimistic with regard to the timeframes for developing this. But the policy has been produced, and we are piloting. We do have agreement with a number of departments, including the Departments of Health and the South African Police Service, to pilot the implementation of this citizen-based monitoring framework at police stations and health facilities in the meantime. So overall, by the end of the financial year, of course, these figures remain to be audited. Of course, this information will be a focus of the audit report, which the auditors are currently working on for the financial year. But according to our information, we achieved 84% of our targets, partially achieved 9.5% of our targets, and didn't achieve 6.3% of our targets. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair, for the presentation. It's always good to listen to the DG and for this overview. Just that part in the council, I missed the delays there of the salaries of the people. I just want to find out
how much they have.
Sorry.
Well,
that's the bargaining council. I just want to find out what is the delays and when will that be implemented. And then I know that the DG explained it last time for us, the position of suitable candidates. Are there still problems there? Are they sorting this out? I just want some clarity on this. And then my other question that's covered, the nutrition program, I also just want to add, I think that is a very important program. I'm a little bit concerned what is the situation. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, just on a lighter note, I didn't hear anything from the DG side that the DA didn't object to the vote yesterday.
I'm not hearing myself what you are saying. Thank you, Chair. Chair, this this presentation dealt with the quarter four expenditure of the 2012-13 financial year. The next one, of course, will be on the first quarter of the 13-14 financial year. Chairperson, what I want to know from the DG is, if I read through the budget snapshot from the Research Unit of Parliament Public Accounts Cluster for April 2013, it says that the all the departments already introduced and incorporated the National Development Plan in this 2000 and Chair, okay, this one is better. This this budget snapshot document from the Parliamentary Economic Cluster Unit said that most of the departments, instead all of the departments, all 38, have already, you know, budgeted in as from the 13-14 financial year to accommodate the NDP. Now, if we go back to the presentation of today, it says here on page 15, in the middle, corrective measures introduced to address under expenditure. And then it says, carries on to say, for the budget for the 2013-14 financial year, that is now for the current financial year, the CFO of the department has played a more direct role in engaging with program managers to ensure that budgets are realistic. And the department has also introduced monthly budget and expenditure meetings to ensure more accurate budgeting and more rigorous expenditure monitoring in future. Chairperson, now if we talk about the monitoring in future, I just want to come to the next report that they will come to us, that it will be the first quarter for the 13-14 financial year. How, what will be the procedure, or how is the department prepared to give feedback to us on the monitoring process then of the NDP in the different departments? Because, you know, it will be a very, very difficult task, as the NDP is not a total separate budget entity. It is sort of an integration of existing expenditure, but there should be some sort of a guideline or a method to inform this committee with your next report, because you already said that the CFO is more engaged more in your department, to make sure that you will be in a position to come and report back to us on best practices on this monitoring process. So how are you going to separate, if I can call it that way, in the performance between the normal expenditure or the previous MTF expenditure and the NDP that will be accommodated in the MTF as from the beginning of next year? Thank you, Chair.
To understand in terms of the, I can see whether there were, yes, I'm right. There's a challenge in terms of the MPET. There were some challenges there. So I just want to understand to say why was it challenged, these results of the MPET, and what is the way forward around that one?
framework, which is supposed to be done by the DPSA for the assessment of HOPs. How far is it now? But the other thing that I think that you on page 7, evaluation program is still allowed to renew process evaluation framework was approved in November. Now, I do understand what you're saying, that at least henceforth things are going to be streamlined or something like that. Because I think that we need that streamlining there. Because evaluation is one of the core functions of this department. It's important that there is a predictability that side. Now, my question is, for instance, how are the evaluations done? Can you say that, I know that in the ATP, for example, say there will be so many evaluations. Is there a timing for this evaluation? That beginning of the year, we'll start evaluations with the year, when the year starts, or evaluations can be done some other time. You know what worries me here, DG? Something that I think that needs to be sorted out. Is this you are a department that is responsible for evaluation. However, I think the report is saying that you don't have a final, what you call it, decision in terms of saying beginning of April we'll evaluate so many departments. I think that maybe not unless I miss something, but I mean everybody knows, the cabinet knows that this department is responsible for evaluation, but it must still, what to call it, approve whether evaluation should be done by when. I think so. It kind of worries me. Unless you are going to cabinet to say we have done this, here are the evaluations we have done, here are the results, and then if the cabinet looks at that. But I'm worried if the cabinet should approve whether you should evaluate which department. I don't know if I understood you well, because. The name of this department is monitoring, performance monitoring and evaluation. So it's a core responsibility. It's a core function of the department.
Isn't that covered on slide 19, your question?
On slide 19?
Yeah.
What does slide 19 say?
Well, read it, Jeff.
No, you're saying me. No?
I'm asking you, Jeff.
You're drawing my attention there. I'm asking a question to the department. You're drawing my attention somewhere there. But I don't think that it is the same thing, Honorable Swartz, that is there. Honorable Fuller?
Thanks, I think what you're trying to say, because I also trying to understand that they are saying that the evaluation steering committee, that steering on page 90, that steering committee, is it them or who's them? But my other question is on page 4, where I'm asking about it. They said they've shifted money from under program one, and they shifted to the 20-year review and the research project. Now my question is to say, when they came up with under program two about this 20-year review, didn't they budget for it properly? Or what really happened around that they shift the money to that? Because I was thinking that the 20-year review will have its own budget. Now the other budget was shifted to, I understand they were saying based on the ICT they gave reasons, but my question is around the 20-year review that they are having there at the research project, to say, didn't they budget for it? Or they just have a 20-year review which was not budgeted for correctly? And in terms of slide number five, that, I don't know what did you call it, starting so high, page five, that's
five.
Pardon?
Five.
Yeah, on the March 5. I'm just saying, why did it go so low? You know, I could hear his reason to say, no, they will improve. But it kept on going down and down and down. So I'm not so clear why did it go so down and down.
The other honorable member, the other question on page 17. Third quarterly risk management report compiled and presented to the risk management committee and the audit committee. The risk management committee did not meet regularly. I'm not sure that question was raised. If you raised it, Honorable Khaled Blom, the question?
No.
Or it was not raised? Well, yes. Why the risk management committee did not meet regularly as planned. But the other question is, I think this department, the name is Performance, welcome Dr. Paul. The name is Performance Monitoring.
Honorable Yengel,
Namza, Amkelegi. The name is Performance Monitoring. So clearly, there are two core functions for this department. It is performance monitoring and evaluation. Now, on page 17, I'm not understanding clearly the detailed implementation plan on the second assessment and approved by management and implementation plan. MPET results were challenged. Honorable Mfulo has already raised the question as to why. But how many, again, how many MPET assessments are done per year, or does the department intend doing per annum? Yes. Okay. Over to you, teacher.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, honourable members, for comments and questions. There was a suggestion that we should tell the committee when we think we're not going to achieve the targets, and if necessary, amend the APP. Yes, we'll do that in future. There was a question with regard to the point made on slide about the evaluations, the National School Nutrition Program. We had a problem with that evaluation and that the service provider didn't perform. We agreed with the Department of Basic Education that that contract with that service provider should be terminated, and we're currently in discussion with the we also think it's a very important program to evaluate. There is a standing cabinet decision that they should be evaluated, so our intention is, with the agreement of the Department of Basic Education, to re-advertise that terms of reference and to appoint another service provider to implement that evaluation. That's currently in process. We hope to get that evaluation going again shortly.
So, in some cases,
yes.
The service provider did not perform.
Yes. We I think, Chairperson, we currently have about between 10 and 15 evaluations underway, am I right, Ian?
Yes.
In various stages with service providers appointed.
It's about, probably about 13 with service providers appointed.
So one would expect we try and run as rigorous a process as we can for the appointment of service providers. We have a panel of service providers which we advertise, and we have universities and evaluation specialists apply to be on the panel. We have preconditions to come onto the panel, so we try to the best of our ability to ensure that we get competent service providers to carry out the evaluations. But unfortunately, one would expect, or unfortunately, occasionally, a minority of the service providers that we appoint don't perform. And so far, this is the only service provider that we have had that hasn't performed on the evaluations. So we're dealing with it. We've terminated the contract of the service provider, and we intend to go through another process to get this particular evaluation going again. Can I ask, Carter, when I finish going through the questions, can you answer the question about the bargaining council issue? The question by Honourable Van Dijk about the National Development Plan and monitoring of the National Development Plan, the way that we're approaching it is that, or that we've approached it is that there's a need to translate the National Development Plan into measurable indicators and targets, and to allocate responsibility for those measurable indicators and targets to individual departments. We're currently in the process of doing that in terms of, and we're doing that as part of the 2014-2019 medium-term strategic framework. We will be presenting the first draft of that MTSF to the Cabinet Lekotla in July. What the MTSF does is takes the National Development Plan and says for the first 5 years of implementation, or for the period 2014 to 2019, this is precisely what each department is going to do. So we want to have an MTSF which is effectively an implementation plan for the NDP for the 2014-2019 period. And it's going to explicitly say what each department needs to do in that MTSF period, and then we would expect require departments to put those same indicators and targets into their new 5-year strat plans, which they're busy working on now for submission to Parliament early next year. So we're trying to set up a system where it will be possible for both us and Parliament to track the implementation and monitor the implementation of the NDP through monitoring the 5-year strategic plans of departments, the implementation of those plans, because those plans will incorporate all the key indicators and targets from the NDP for the first for that 5-year period. So that's the systematic way in which we're going about setting up a system through which we can monitor the implementation of the NDP. In the meantime, in this current financial year now, the 13-14 financial year, we don't yet have such a system in place. But as Minister Manuel has said on
implications, but many departments are already implementing aspects of the NDP, and you can, if you do a review of all the new APPs of departments, you can pick out quite a lot of areas where the departments have got things in their APP which relate to implementing different aspects of the NDP. And I suspect that during the course of this year, the NDP Secretariat and the Presidency, and probably working together with us, will do that analysis and do an assessment of the implementation of the NDP in this particular year before we have the more systematic process of monitoring the implementation of the NDP through the MTSF from next financial year onwards. I didn't quite understand the Honourable Member's part of the question related to our own monitoring of our own expenditure. I understood part of the question on the NDP.
Not covered.
You covered, okay.
The member protected. You protected another person.
Then there was a question about this point made in our performance information on program one about this partially achieved target of having a detailed improvement action plan based on the second impact assessment. This program one administration is our own internal administration in DPME. So what this is talking about is the impact assessment of DPME ourselves. In other words, it's the management performance assessment unit in DPME which assesses management performance of all the departments, but they also assess our department as well. And we need to, just like all the other departments, we also need to do an improvement plan to improve our impact assessment scores. What this target says is that once the second impact assessment is done, what it means by second impact assessment is that there's an impact assessment done annually on all departments. The first one was done in 11-12. The second one was done in 12-13. We're going to be doing the third cycle of them in 13-14. So the second there means the 12-13 impact assessment. And we committed in terms of our APP to have developed an improvement action plan by the end of March based on the assessment results. Now the process that we go through with through all departments, including ourselves, is that there's initially a self-assessment by the top management of the department, and that self-assessment is checked by the department's internal audit. And then the department has to provide evidence for its self-assessment. For example, if the department says that it's doing very well in terms of service delivery improvement, then it must provide a copy of its service delivery improvement plan in terms of public service regulations. Then we have a moderation process where there's a group of officials who are experts in areas like financial management, human resource management, who sit together with our impact assessment people, and they moderate the evidence provided by all the departments, including ourselves, for their self-assessment scores. After that moderation process, we think it's an important step in the process to allow the departments to challenge the results of the moderation in case the moderators have made a mistake. So all the departments are given a chance to challenge the moderated results. And in this case, DPME itself challenged the moderated results. But that process has since been completed. There's an agreement between our CFO and our head of HR now and the impact assessment people, and the results are finalized. Overall, for impact for the 12-13 financial year, we were pleased in that all 156 national provincial departments participated in the assessment process. We are currently finalizing some of those challenge processes just with a few departments and with one province. And we will be going to cabinet shortly, probably in August now, with the report on the 12-13 impact assessments, and then the results will be made public for the national departments. We think it's very important to have this challenge period because one of the key things that we're trying to achieve with these impact assessments is to get ownership of weaknesses by managers and departments. So it's very important through the process, at the end of the process, for departments to agree that these are the weaknesses in their departments. That it's not just DPME saying that they're weaknesses, and that they say, but we don't agree with it. And with the main aim that we're trying to achieve is to get departments to put in place improvement plans and implement improvement plans. So we need them to take ownership of their weaknesses. And that's why it's very important to try and reach agreement on the results of the assessment. And so far we've found that when there's disagreement, as long we found that the evidence speaks for itself. In other words, if a department can't produce a service delivery improvement plan, then they can't say that they should get a good score for service delivery improvement. So we haven't, we found through this process of challenging the the moderation results, we found that that process is useful, because sometimes they would say that, but we did submit our service delivery improvement plan, and we might find, for example, that due to bandwidth problems, that the document didn't get uploaded onto the website for some reason, but they do actually have a service delivery improvement plan. So the challenge process is quite useful just in ensuring that the final assessment results are accurate, and that in terms of whether or not the evidence is actually there. There was a question from you, Chairperson, about the DPSA framework. We said that in this presentation, we said that we hadn't filled some of our positions for HOD assessment because DPSA had not issued the new policy framework. We did provide DPSA with comments on the draft policy framework, but DPSA have not yet decided to issue that new policy framework, and it could be related to the fact that there's been recent developments, as, for example, captured by the new bill which DPSA has produced on public management, which might have an implication on whether or not this process is proceeded with as originally envisaged. So we'll have to see how those processes continue. In the meantime, the people that we did employ to carry out this function are being productively utilized to do other monitoring and evaluation work in the department. With regard to the question about evaluations, before we started with evaluations, and soon after we started as a department, we did a lot of research on what other countries have done with regard to evaluations. We did some study tours, and we also read a lot of literature about evaluations. And one of the most important things that we found from that research was that one of the biggest challenges in all countries is to get the results of evaluations to be used. That a lot of the literature on evaluation says that you need to be very careful that evaluation reports don't just end up as a document on the shelf and they're not used. You can have very nice evaluation reports, but they don't have a lot of value if they're not actually implemented by the people who are managing the programs that are evaluated. Now, we're not evaluating departments with our evaluations. We're evaluating programs. Evaluating programs, members will have seen the list, for example, early childhood development program, and various other programs that are being evaluated. It's very important for us to get both the program managers in the departments who are managing those programs and both the administrative and political leadership of the department to buy into the evaluations, because that reduces the risk of the evaluation report just becoming a document on the shelf. And it's for that reason that we don't just decide on our own as DPME to do an evaluation, because that would be too risky in terms of us doing a report, the recommendations of which would not be implemented. So we've designed the whole evaluation system on the basis of it being a collaborative effort between ourselves and other departments and provinces as well. And that is the reason why we go through a process of inviting departments to recommend programs for evaluation. And recently, when we presented to the chairpersons of committees in Parliament, we also indicated that it would be good if parliamentary committees could also encourage departments to submit programs for evaluation. We go through that process of trying to get departments to themselves recommend their programs which they think should be evaluated. We then go through a process of prioritizing those and making recommendations to Cabinet. And the reason why we want Cabinet to agree on the recommended evaluations is because, again, we want ownership at Cabinet level, at ministerial level, of the evaluation, so that when we do an evaluation report, Cabinet knows that they agreed, that they requested us to do this evaluation, and that they're expecting the results of this evaluation to come to them. Again, this is all designed in the light of international experience, which is that for your evaluation function to be effective, you must be very careful about this risk of having a nice report which is not implemented. And the best way to manage that risk is to get ownership of the leaders of the programs which are being evaluated, into their ownership into the evaluation process. So as described in the National Evaluation Policy Framework, we have this system where both at national and provincial level there are national and provincial evaluation plans which are approved by Cabinet and the Provincial Executive Councils, which include strategic evaluations which are monitored by the Cabinet and the Provincial Executive Councils. Departments do other evaluations as well, and sometimes they ask us to assist them with their other evaluations as well, and we encourage them to do other evaluations as well. So there's quite a lot of evaluations being done by departments in which we're not involved, which are not in the national provincial evaluation plans, but we encourage that because we're trying to get departments to it's a culture change that we're trying to create in the public service, and we're trying to get departments to improve on their own without waiting for DPME to come and point out areas requiring improvement. So once the evaluation plan is approved by Cabinet, we then start the process of implementing together with the departments. We need to agree on the terms of reference for the evaluation with the departments and with the program managers, which goes into quite a lot of detail about what exactly are the kind of questions that we want to answer through the evaluation about this program, about its impact, about its effectiveness, about how it was designed, about whether it's achieving what it's intended to achieve, about whether we're getting value for money, etc. So we go through a process of agreeing on the terms of reference. It's a bit difficult to put very strict timelines to that process because it's better to do it thoroughly with the department and get agreement and get them to own the terms of reference than to say, well, you've only got 2 weeks to do a terms of reference and to have not a good quality terms of reference. But we do set general, Ian can add on this, on the actual time frames that we in general set. And then once we've got a terms of reference, we then go through a procurement process where we appoint a service provider to do the evaluation. And when the service provider is appointed, that service provider does have definite time frames within which they must complete the evaluation. So the key reason why in our performance reports in Program 2, our one partially achieved target relates to evaluation. The mistake that we made is that we were over-optimistic with regard to the time frames that we put in our APP. This is one area where we didn't yet plan sufficiently realistically. We thought that we would go through these processes quicker than we actually did with regard to getting the evaluations implemented and finalized. But as can be seen from the report on this slide, they are all in process, and although it's taken a bit longer than we expected to get going, they are all in process. And now that we're in a cycle now where each year Cabinet is going to approve a three-year plan for evaluation. So we're going to have this rolling process of evaluation starting and being completed all at the same time. So at any one time, we're going to be having about 15 or 20 evaluations on the go at the national level. And there will be a lot of evaluation reports coming through. So now that we're in the cycle and the system is embedded, You will start seeing regularly a lot of evaluation reports coming from DPME.
And also structure.
Structure?
Part of the question was, how does the report structured, or people can decide that this evaluation will start in November, another one in April?
Well, the start date depends on the process of our negotiation with the department about the terms of reference. But once there's agreement on the terms of reference and we do the procurement process, then the service providers appointed to do the evaluation, then they're strictly managed and they can't decide. They must do the evaluation within the stipulated time frames. Ian, would you like to add?
Yes, I think the time frame, what we've now got as the time frame, remember that the evaluation plan, national evaluation plan for 2012-13 was only approved in June of that year. So we could only formally start doing the terms of reference, etc., after June. So yes, the APP target, which was obviously formulated significantly before that, was too optimistic in the sense that we would get the terms of reference done and get the evaluations completed by March. We are now moving towards the cycle, though, that the call is out at the moment, as you know, and the evaluations will be submitted by the end of this month. And we're hoping that we will have all the terms of reference developed by December, January, so that we'll actually make sure that all the evaluations are actually underway before the start of the next financial year. They'll actually be physically underway, so they'll complete within the year.
There was a question as with regard to who is on the evaluation steering committee. For the reasons I gave before, it's very important for us, for the department which has the program which is being evaluated, to be on the evaluation steering committee and to play an active role in that committee. Again, to ensure that the department takes ownership of the evaluation and to increase the chances that the department will implement the recommendations of the evaluation. So the people who are on the evaluation steering committee is ourselves and managers, senior managers and program managers from the department in which the program being evaluated is based. There was a question about whether or not we budgeted for the 20-year review and the concurrent and the norms and standards research project that we're doing. We didn't budget for them. At the time when we were preparing our budgets, it wasn't clear that DPME were going to be requested to do the 20-year review. Historically, it's been done by the presidency. So it was only after the budget had been finalized that we got an indication from the presidency that they would like DPME to do to manage the 20-year review on behalf of the presidency. And that is why we wired money in order to do that. And similarly with the research project on norms and standards, at the time when we prepared the budget, we weren't aware that we were going to be requested to do this project. It came out of discussions within the Forum of South African DGs as a result of analysis of the interventions, the constitutional interventions in the Eastern Cape and Limpopo in particular, discussions around progress with those interventions. And there was then, as a result of that, there was a request from the Forum of South African DGs for DPME to lead a process with the National Concurrent Functions Department to look at the potential for more effectively using minimum norms and standards to improve performance at provincial level. And there was a question on page 5 about the graph on page 5, which is this graph. I didn't understand this question. The question said that why is the line going down? Why is it going down? But what this graph is trying to show is that our expenditure increased during the financial year per month, until there was a very large increase in expenditure, particularly in March. That is the March spike. So that's what the graph is intending to show. The line which goes up and along was our original projection, which was that original projection is when we prepared the budget estimates, and that's what our actual expenditure should have looked more like, that blue line. And we think that our actual expenditure for the current financial year, this new financial year, will look more like that blue line, which is with the expenditure more evenly spread. Now that we're embedded in the evaluation cycle and now that we've completed or practically completed our capital expenditure on our IT equipment. There was also a question about why our risk management committee did not meet regularly as planned. This was purely as a result of it being cancelled on a number of times due to other commitments. And we've addressed that now by timing our risk management committee so it falls on the same days as our main other management committee meetings when all the people are available, so to reduce the risk of it being cancelled due to people not being available due to other commitments. So we think that this issue has now been addressed and that the risk management committee will meet regularly as planned in this financial year.
Thanks, DG. The question was regarding the PSCBC resolution 1 of 2012. That resolution was concluded in July last year. However, the Minister for the Public Service Administration needed to issue an implementation directive. So just to ensure standardization across the public service on the implementation of the higher grades. That implementation directive was only issued in February of this year. And that therefore resulted in the delay of the implementation of the higher grades of 10, 12 respectively. So basically that was with regards to that. I'm not too sure, Didi, there was also a question with regards to whether suitable candidates are still a problem in the department. We basically have addressed that in terms of our specialist positions, they have been all filled. Also with regards to our DDG position, which did take quite some time of filling, we successfully managed to fill that position as well.
On a lighter note, is the DG still acting?
That seems to be very happy. Okay, are you done with it?
Thank you, Jay.
But I think that honourable members, you know, we had proposed or we had agreed with the department that there would be a workshop, for instance. We had a workshop at the time. It was early days at that time. I think now, at least it's around 11 now, 12, everyone is awake now in terms of what we are doing. But what is not clear yet is the role of Parliament on this. It's still not clear to me. The Minister, you remember Fiji, on his budget vote, he indicated that the report will be tabled, future reports will be tabled in Parliament. That's well and good. However, I think it is very important, it's doing very important, it's very important that those reports will also be tabled in Parliament so that members of Parliament can do oversight over this work. Hence, I'm raising then the question of a structured kind of what you call it, evaluation. So there can be predictability. For instance, you're saying now you have identified about 15 evaluations. I think in order also for the department, in order for us to be able to monitor properly, to do a proper oversight, if there are 15 evaluations that need to be done over the next 3 years or so, I think it's very important for purposes of planning the Madala will respond to the problem. I think it's important to say in 2014 or 2013, 2014, 2015, we'll do so many. And plan this year, if we need to be cabinet approvals or what, if there needs to be cabinet approvals, cabinet knows before the beginning of the year there's an agreement, before the beginning of the following year, that there's going to be this evaluation, so that the department can be able to source whatever information or whatever infrastructure or service provider you need in order to ensure that come beginning of the year, you know, that work will be done. Otherwise, you'll have a target and then you get egg on your face because some people, they raise all kinds of challenges, you can't do this and this and this, and you must come and account to the committee. You look disorganized. I think that then that identification of evaluation for the year before agreed which evaluations are going to be done the following year, so that all of us, we can think from the same what you call it, we can read from the same page. This side. That's one. But on the issue that PG and I'm not very clear about, there's a lot of movement and taxis and trains and, now let's just have a train, the taxis must stop, can stop. Yeah, I think on one of the issues of the MPES, I don't know, one, is the MPES done for all the departments, which is important, or is it, or you, I mean, it's any day, sometimes it's possible that maybe you identify a few departments where they want to call it MPET will be done. And if that is the case, for 2013, 2014, I don't have the copy of the APP in front of me, but so many MPES are going to be done. Have we identified for which departments that those are going to be done? Just other question related to that. There was other MPES that were done last year, about 103 of the departments were done last year. Now, I think that we need to go back to those and say, out of 103, how many of those have got improvement plans? I think it's important, and we get those the report. I think that it will be important that we do that. I think to me this work is special evaluation, complicated, but it's very interesting. I really like to maybe understand it better. But with MPET, I think that those reports need to, I'm not sure, when you said during the APP discussion that the next MPET report will come around July, August, am I right? Okay. Well, let's hope then that it will come then. and we're looking forward to it. This department is the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation.
No, I'm not going to waste anybody's time. I'm late, but I'll just ask the question. The answer can be forwarded to you later on after this meeting.
And the answer can be.
And don't share. These people, these members are going to go for my throat. I'm late. I don't
have work to do.
That will be your choice, but my choice is that I really don't need an answer now. From what was being said, I heard that there's a service provider who had to be stopped because he or she did not perform. So, knowing that this department is looking for people with expertise, maybe I could not get this because I'm late. So for me, when you talk about service providers, I all just think of people with high expertise. What I want to understand the nature of the contract that the department has with that service provider. And how did they land up getting a company that is not competent? How could it have that took place, and at what stage did they see that the company is incompetent? Is it after the services were supposed to have been completed, or is it in the process of discharging the services? At what stage? For me, that's what I want to understand. And if that had money implications as well, to what extent? So as I'm saying, maybe answer this, not necessarily now. Thank you.
DG, you want to close now? You can, but if you can partly respond to the question, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. The impact, with regard to your question, the impact process is meant to be done on all national and provincial departments. In the first year, we only got 103 departments to participate, but in 12-13, we got all 156 departments to participate. So our target is all national and provincial departments. We're also starting to assess municipalities, but because there's so many of them, we're not going to set ourselves a target of assessing them all. We're going to try and be more strategic with municipalities, and particularly focus on ones where there's known weaknesses, and where we think it'll be particularly useful to do a management performance assessment in the municipality. Of course, it will also be, we'll have to target those to approach them to do the assessment, but we would rely on the councils to agree that we do an assessment of the municipalities. We will prepare a document for you, Chairperson, with the expected dates for submission to Parliament of all of our reports, including the impact reports, frontline service delivery reports, and the reports from the evaluation. So we'll prepare such a plan for DPME documents and reports for Parliament, and we'll forward that to you. And then I suggest on the issue raised by Honourable Yangeni, I suggest that we should also prepare a report on what happened with that service provider. I did mention that we have processes in place, but unfortunately, despite those processes, the service provider didn't perform. So we'll provide a report answering all the questions raised by Honourable Yangeni and send it to the committee.
Thank you.
Deputy and the team, thank you very much. We think that maybe the next discussion, maybe not necessary in a formal meeting, is about the workshop, so that we can really sit at this stage. I know it's early days, but evaluate the progress that has been made so far, and improvements, and where improvements need to be made on this important work. On that note, thank you very much. The restart of the meeting, other people are nodding their heads because the restart of the meeting is coming to an end. They've been looking forward to that statement. Well, thank you very much, PJ. The meeting is adjourned.